So now we come to what are the kind of options in global sourcing? So we are going to look at four standard type of four types of auctions. So you have the standard auction, you have the reverse auction, multidimensional auction, and then you have a closed auction. So let's look at it one by one. So auctions is a mechanism, and traditionally the auction that you see is where a seller puts up something for sale, and there are various people who are bidding for the item, and the highest bidder normally gets the item. So it could be a piece of art, or it could be some very exclusive kind of a thing. Now the same principle actually works here. So when you are talking of a standard action auction, the seller is the one who runs the auction. Assume that the seller has a capability which is much lower than the market demand, then he can actually do this kind of an auction, and he can say, look, I have a limited capacity, and the person who bids the highest price, he will get the volumes or a major chunk of my volume. So the highest bidder, which in the bidder in this case will be the buyer, will actually get the lion's share of the product or the services. So just going through the text matter here, auctions are a market mechanism where the buyer and the seller agree upon the items and the purchase price. Auction can be seen as a one-time transaction, since the bidding process can select a different winner each time. Because each time, depending upon the compulsion and the need, the people will be bidding. So if I'm in desperately in need, I may actually bid a higher value or a higher price. And if I'm not that desperate or I have other sources, then I may not bid that high. So every time, the process may throw up a different winner. There are several types of auctions, but the most common are the progressive or standard auctions, which we talked about, where the bids are freely placed and the auction stops when there is no purchaser that wants to place a higher bid. So in every auction, in standard auction, it stops when there is nobody willing to bid a higher price. So that becomes the saturation point, and that's where the auction stops. The highest bidder is the one who actually takes the cake. So we now come to the reverse auction. In a reverse auction, it is the purchaser that sells the contract of a predefined item. So here it's the reverse case. We saw the standard auction where it is the seller who is offering the product and saying that the person who bids the highest price will get the material. Now here it is the buyer who says, whoever bids the lowest price, I will give the contract to him. So I will give the order for supply of this material to him. So the objective in reverse auction is to place the lowest bid in order to get the contract. One of the conditions of the reverse auction is that the seller is unknown for the buyer until the bidding is over. So what happens is, while the suppliers are bidding, let us say there are five parties who are bidding for the process, you will not know which party is actually bidding, because you only see certain codes or numbers for the bidding party. And once the bidding process is over, then you will know which is the party which has actually quoted the lowest rate. And that's where you come to know the identity. So this makes it important that the description needed to describe the item is low in order to decrease the risk of the process. That is, that a supplier gets the bid but is not capable to supply this specified item. So you have to be very careful here that you are describing your product very, very descriptively, very comprehensively, because it should not so happen that there is a misunderstanding. Somebody thinks that your requirement is X, he quotes for it, and then finally comes to the conclusion that what you require is X plus Y, and which they are not capable of supplying. So you have to describe your requirement in a lot of depth to ensure that people understand your requirement completely, and only the people who are capable of supplying will be bidding for the process. Now we come to the multidimensional auction. So multidimensional auction is a relatively more complex type of auction. We will see why we call it more complex. Several aspects are considered in the bidding. That is, the price and the quantity could be used in a two-dimensional auction. And we will see further that it could be even three-dimensional. So other dimensions such as the price and delivery could be used in order to secure demand in peak season. So your prices could depend upon the quantity and the delivery. So one is the product. So in the earlier cases, we saw that maybe it's a one kind or a one time kind of a auction. But when you have an auction which is spread over a period, and there are certain deliveries also which have to be met, so then you can have this multidimensional auction where quantity and the delivery plays a role. That means you are required to make certain deliveries during the peak season, which may be higher as compared to the average offtake that you may have. So in this case, because for any manufacturing process, volume plays an important role. If somebody is going to ask for a component, 100 numbers of component and 1,000 number of components, the economics of production and economics of delivery is going to change. So here you are taking all the variables, as we saw here, the component or the product, the quantity and the delivery. All three are playing a role, and the auction takes into account all these factors. The supplier can quote the prices based on the variables. Multidimensional auctions might be good to use in order to match the buyer's need with the seller's availability and capacity to produce. So here, it may be that the seller is willing to bid for it. He finds that for 2 months, your requirement is going to be low. Maybe for the third month or subsequent period, your requirement is high. He may even decide to make the product in advance and supply it to you during the peak season, when his capacities will not be actually capable of making that kind of a volume. So, but he can decide on the economics and then he can quote for the price. So now we come to the closed auction. So in a closed auction, the transaction is prepared in the way that the suppliers are pre-qualified. So closed auction is where you are restricting the number of supplier who can participate in the auction process. Normally, this happens when you have very confidential kind of material to be supplied. They could be either because of military importance or security concerns are there with the material, or it could be that it requires a pre-qualification, in the sense that a very special kind of a setup is required to manufacture and supply these products. So in that case, you have a pre-qualification, and only the suppliers who qualify will be actually allowed to participate in the auction. So, and that's the reason it's called a closed auction, because you are inviting specific parties only to participate. So since the closed auction requires that the transaction is prepared with detailed description, and to write a contract, the auctioneer have to be more active than in a standard auction. As I said, because also it could involve IP, the intellectual property, or some patents, etc. Closed auctions are typically carried out for the purpose of reversed auction, and it is also suitable for more complex items due to the preparation of the auction. I mean, it's self-explanatory. So what are the issues and challenges with the auctions? Often viewed as one-time transaction by the supplier participating in the auction. So we saw that an auction can throw up a new winner every time. So if you're doing a reverse auction, today it could be one supplier, tomorrow it could be another supplier. So there is no continuity, there is no collaboration, there is no partnership. It's a one-time, it's a transactional relationship that you share. So this is one of the issues or one of the lacuna of an auction process. There is a risk of suboptimal relationship between the buyer and the seller, as the benefits of auction are mostly inclined to the buyer side. And as we already discussed, it's a transactional relationship. So firstly, there is no collaboration, no partnership. Secondly, it is biased to only the price, and the price will be in favor of the buyer. Because, you know, what happens is you are actually generating a competition which is only on the price, assuming that the other things are all equal, which may not be the case. Buyer in standard auction and the supplier in the reverse auction may get stressed when they have to place a bid as the time is a constraint. So, you know, you don't have too much time. The entire process happens within minutes or within hours. And it's either you make it or you don't make it. And if a company really wants desperately the order, can lead to a lot of stress. And also people may take very desperate decisions to work with very low margins. So, you know, it does generate a lot of stress. In a standard auction, it's with the buyer. And with the reverse auction, it's with the seller that the stress will be created. Most of the auctions are suitable for items or services of a commodity nature. Auctions tend to be complex exercise in case of highly technical requirement and needs a very of very specialized nature. So mostly, as we said, you basic requirement of an auction is that you have a large number of supplier, and this will happen only in case of a commodity. So in case of a very specialty kind of a product, generally auctions are not preferred because you will have less number of supplier. Even your suppliers may not participate in the auction process because they feel that their products are not comparable, and they will choose not to supply to you if you are actually going to resort to a auction. Emergence of e-markets. So electronic purchasing assistance is an e-market mechanism that helps the company to find the best supplier with the lowest price point. It helps the buyer organization to discover the price more efficiently. We know this, e-commerce, we have all experienced it. I mean, you look for one item and you will find maybe 1,000 options. You have also sometimes the same item appearing over and over again from the same supplier or with some minor changes here and there. But the point is that you have a wide variety to choose from. The e-marketplace uses a set of software that, for example, use different setup of matrices in order to detect items that are overpriced or have a better alternative. So you are also using machine learning or AI to actually decide, you know, which are the products which are overpriced. So they also help you to actually narrow down and select the right item. In many places, they also tell you what is your price expectation, and they will only throw up those options or those suppliers that fit within your price range. So you are able to eliminate a lot of suppliers or a lot of options which do not fit into your budget. The e-marketplace assistance includes electronic catalogs, recommendations, agents, and price search engines available on the internet. We have all seen this. E-commerce is what has already demonstrated this capability. The same thing has been actually translated to the e-marketplace, which is a B2B kind of a transaction. One of the issues with the e-marketplace is the use of internet mode could be time consuming, since the buyer has to compare his decision with the decision aid and evaluate the outcome. So one of the problem is sometimes you are getting too many options and you don't know which option to choose from. Also, you have this concern whether you have you chosen the best option or there were better options which you have overlooked. So you are actually spending a lot of time in actually going through all the options which are available to you. Sourcing through e-marketplace also requires that high level of details and standardization in order to provide a desired result. So if you require a very specialized kind of a requirement, you may have a little problem, because most of the people in the market will be offering product on the e-marketplace which are highly standardized. So if you are looking for, just example, a fastener, then you will get the fasteners in the standard kind of modules that are there, or even with the threads, you know, which will be as per the metric or the British system as per your requirement, or in the standard dimensions. So if you have a requirement in a non-standard dimension, then maybe you will have to actually get in touch with the supplier, through the e-marketplace and develop. And then again, you know, it will be a price on demand, you know, kind of a thing. E-markets also have led to emergence of platforms like Flipkart, Snapdeal, IndiaTrade, etc. Such platforms perform an activity of electronic agents. So they become the middlemen or the agents. Electronic agents perform business with all possible suppliers and buyers, and the transaction occurs as one time. So here, of course, it's a one-time transaction. Again, I give the example of e-commerce. You may today find a good deal on, let's say, Flipkart. Tomorrow, you do it on Amazon. Day after, you do it on Snapdeal. So it's a one-time transaction that you are basically resorting to. So it's not, again, a long-term kind of a relationship that you're building. It's only, one-time hit that you're looking at. Analysis of purchasing data and activities can be performed through the use of e-commerce. The analysis reveals cost, bill amount, and purchase price variance. Such analysis, if useful for optimizing the procurement decision. This is a slight departure from the B2C kind of a model that we see. In a B2C, you normally purchase one item once in a while. It's not every day that you go and buy a mobile, or you repeatedly keep on buying the same thing. But in a B2B kind of a environment, you are buying an item repeatedly. And here, all the information is available. So this is the value addition or the value-added services that the platforms are actually offering you, where they give you an analysis of the spend and they also actually indicate areas for improvement. So what are the tools in purchasing through e-marketplace? So one is the lead time analysis. So it provides an assistance to group, purchasing and production managers, group of purchasing and production managers to reduce the total product lead times by pointing out the most influential steps of purchasing and production lead time. So they also can actually help you reduce the lead times, both in procurement as well as in production. I'm not really clear how it will give you in terms of production, but in procurement lead time, it is going to actually give you a lot of benefit. Issues by related to lead time and lot size. So at times, issues are faced on account of inflated lead times or impracticable lot size provided by the information system. So the e-marketplace can actually help you work this out, and they can give you more practical, more workable kind of lot sizes and the lead times. Privacy and confidentiality risk. So as the information system contains the information about the budgets, quantity required, current suppliers, terms and conditions, pricing history. So you can consider this as a risk and also, as a plus. Your systems have to be, secured enough so that, the information cannot be tapped by the supplier. At the same time, all these requirements can be shared very, very conveniently with the supplier for compliance purpose. So what are the services offered by the global sourcing portals? Supplier relationship management enabled. So we talked about the customer relationship management. So here, they also try to help you build a supplier relationship. So we saw that one of the shortfall of the e-marketplace or the sourcing portal is that they are more transactional and they also, are a little impersonal, So partly these are some of the services which try to cover those shortfalls. So the portals are capable of providing easy access to a wide range of data and information at one place, which may include supplier specific information, categories and items supplied, requests, quotes, inquiries, email integration, ERP integration, inter alia. So basically, they actually help you get a lot of information about the supplier, which you don't really need to fish for. and it also retains all the quotes, the inquiries, etc., that you have been exchanging. Even the communications that you have with the supplier is all retained. So generally in a CRM, you must have seen that all the opportunities, all the development work that you do with the customer are all captured. The same concept is actually used here in the supplier relationship management, where the total history is captured. And again, as I said, if there is a new buyer who takes on the responsibility, he will find all the information on the sourcing portal. So it makes it very easy for him to take on from where the previous buyer has left. Supplier registration and product item management. So the portal allows the supplier to auto-register and upload the products, items, services offered. So many places, the portal will allow a supplier to actually show his offerings to you. He can, upload his catalogs, and as and when you require, you can actually connect with the supplier. Planning on tender. So the portal is capable of sending the service request to identified suppliers for participation in the tender and admission of the quotes or proposal. So we saw that the supplier can actually auto-register and he can actually show his offerings on the portal. Now you can, through the same portal, actually send the service request, and you can basically request the supplier to participate in your tender process and ask him either for a RFQ or a RFP. Supplies quotes. The portal also has capability to arrange all the supplier quotes and perform a comparison. So once the suppliers, let us say there are 7 suppliers who have given their quotes with certain conditions, commercial terms, etc., the portal can also actually do a comparison and tell you, which offer or which offers you can consider. Ultimately, decision to consider the offers lie with you, but they do a very professional kind of a comparison through the artificial intelligence or machine learning, and they will give you suggestions. Customs duty management. The portals facilitating the global sourcing is generally integrated with the custom duty rates, custom gateways of various countries. These enables the global sourcing manager to quickly compute the duties and enable timely payment with completion of the necessary formality. So assume that you have actually struck a deal with a supplier and you have made the orders, and your Incoterms are DDU, that means delivered duty unpaid. So the goods will be delivered at your premises, but the duties have to be paid by you. So because the portal is integrated with the customs system, it will actually pick out, based on the price which has been negotiated, what is the current custom forex rate, what are the duties which will be applicable. So what are the duties that you are required to pay to enable the supplier to clear the goods and supply them to you without delay. Tracking and tracing of shipment. The procurement portals are capable of providing information related to each order, as the portal is integrated with the system of various logistics services and providers. Fairly simple. Today, e-commerce, you are able to track where exactly is your parcel. So if it is going from one hub to the other, or it is actually en route, let's say from Delhi to Mumbai, you are able to see this information on the portal. The same kind of technology is used here to actually track and tell you what is the estimated time of arrival or delivery at your place for the consignment. Business intelligence and analytics. So with high value and volume of data available at the portal, the global sourcing manager can perform business analytics and come out with meaningful strategies to add value to the procurement function and the overall business. Again, I don't need to explain this, because it's something like a big data, or of course here the data is more structured. So you can analyze the data and you can come out with informations which can be used to make management decisions. So what are the emerging technology trends in global sourcing? having a digital strategy in mind. So more and more companies are going digital. They are going for e-portal of their own, or they are also sometimes subscribing to the marketplace, e-marketplace. That is the public marketplace. Building talent pool to embrace digital technologies, because you also need people who can actually take advantage of the digital strategy. So not everyone is familiar with the e-marketplace, and you need to have a talent pool who is actually familiar with the technology and the methodology, so that they can make maximum use of the tool. Thinking suppliers beyond the price. We already discussed this, that the portals have this disadvantage that they basically focus on price, but you need to look beyond the price. So price may be just one of the factor. There are many other factors in terms of services, in terms of compliances, in terms of sustainability, in terms of eco-friendliness, green chemistry, or you can say green technologies, etc. So you have to think beyond. And as I said, if price was everything, then why buy an iPhone? So it's not only about the price. Risk management, preparing for the unexpected. So you need to also think about the risks which are involved with the new emerging technologies. Increasing focus on indirect spend. So with the load taken off, with the direct spend, you can increasingly focus on indirect spend, which is also a major portion of the organizational spend. And one can also bring down the cost in indirect spend and benefit the organization. Even the indirect spend also can be tackled through the digital strategy. Rising artificial intelligence or AI systems. So we saw that in many places, AI plays an important role. So even in the e-marketplace, etc., the selection or the shortlisting of the suppliers is actually using the AI systems. And this makes the entire process independent of human interference, at the same time, very quick. So, you can use these systems around the clock. Moving to effective change management. And naturally, when you're moving from the traditional system to the digital strategy, then it's a matter of a change management. You have to prepare your team, the buyers, to actually adopt to the new changes. Thank you.